I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting.
Okay. Good. Welcome back. Sure. It sure has had to. We're really grateful for the opportunity to cover for John Twitchell's talk with John today. John is busy with some important issues and asked us to cover. Now, my name is Paul Jensen. I'm a longtime broadcaster and radio host with K-Talk Radio, among others. And I've also owned a couple of stations and a TV station or two as well. Now, we're in Salt Lake City, and we've got a very good friend who also had his own show on K-Talk and is a guest very, very often around the world, around the country. And David Pine is the he's a former U.S. Army Combat Arms and HQ staff officer. He has a master's degree in national security studies from Georgetown. He currently serves as the deputy director of national operations for the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security, and he's a contributor to Dr. Peter Pry's new book, Blackout Warfare. I don't have that. I'd love to see that book. And then also, I'm going to give you information in just a moment of how to get a hold of David Pine and also how to get a hold of me so that you can have that information available. Now, we have some issues and some very important topics that we've not covered adequately, and I hope we have the time to do that. How much time do you have to be with us today, David Pine?
I can do the full 2 hours if there's no one else.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm happy to do that.
Because my other co-host that was going to be on with us today, they had a fire, and wow. her warehouse at her home. She lives on a really beautiful property. She's an attorney, and she's been on with me several times as a guest. But she notified me just literally a couple of hours ago she would not be able to join me because she's got some people to come out there and look at the damage of the fire and start tearing out the burned portion. So I'm glad that we've got you available. So we talked about the cost of war and the fact that the United States citizens, and I have some real mixed feelings on this, but mostly I think we should be taking care of our own problems and our own citizens before investing in other countries and their problems. But we're talking billions and billions of dollars here. And in multiple reports, I've heard and read that at most 30% of the arms and the money that's sent over there actually arrive at their intended destination, David Pine.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely right. There was a CBS report, so no concern. This isn't like conservative, rumors or something. This is an established media, liberal mainstream source. So CBS did a report. They posted a video report, a documentary about the war in Ukraine. And one of the folks they interviewed stated that, only 30% of weapons and, weapons and ammo are actually reaching the frontline troops in Ukraine. And essentially, what the report revealed is that there's a huge amount of corruption in Ukraine. We knew that. Everyone knows that Ukraine is the most corrupt country in Europe, with the sole exception of Russia itself. So one of the two most corrupt countries in Europe. And Ukraine, like Russia, has billionaire oligarchs. In fact, one billionaire oligarch, actually the most infamous, he's so discredited that he and his family members are banned from traveling to the United States. He's the one who got who funded Zelensky's presidential campaign, and without his assistance, he would not be president today. So he's the power behind the throne, essentially, certainly monetarily and to a lesser extent politically. And I forget the name of the billionaire, by the way. But anyway, essentially, 30% of the weapons are actually reaching the troops. So, what has happened to the rest, the other 70% of weapons and ammo? And a lot of it appears to be being resold on the Ukrainian black market and may show up, it may show up in the Middle East in terrorist hands. So, we've seen this movie before. I think we gave thousands of Stinger missiles to the Afghan Mujahideen during the Soviet-Afghan War in the 80s. And later, those were used to shoot down airliners and whatnot. So, we don't want to repeat that mistake. So, there are some America First members of Congress who are trying to audit, pass a law which would audit all this and where all this is going, and kind of try to track it all. But right now we have no tracking mechanism. So, for all we know, half of the weapons we're shipping are being resold to the Russians to use against us. So I don't think that's the case, but it could be, just based on the level of corruption and the Ukrainian black market we're seeing right now.
Could that be Kulibayev, Timur? I'm not sure, but he's the one I'm familiar with.
I think that's right. Okay. I think he's the guy. So then going back to your previous question, so we've had about 20 Ukrainian aid packages so far. They've been a mix of economic and military aid that we've sent to Ukraine. I think the 19th and 20th aid packages are being considered right now by Biden. So Biden and Congress. And once those are approved, it'll bring overall aid to $70 billion. So by way of comparison, we spent... Biden administration spends $21 billion to defend our border. So he's sending over three times the amount he spends to secure our border to Ukraine to defend their borders. So, this is something that Tucker Carlson brings up a lot. Liberals don't care about defending our borders, but they think Ukrainian national borders are sacrosanct. So we need to do everything we can to defend their other countries' borders, but not our own.
Well, let me just say, and I'm sorry for interrupting you, but in comparison, the estimate of the completion of Trump's border wall was under $11 billion.
Yeah, there you go. And, to harden the entire U.S. national electric grid against EMP attack would cost no more than $30 billion. So we could double harden. We could harden the whole grid over two times over and, solve that problem. Right there, if we had actually spent the money on defending America, which, Biden, that's the one thing Biden refuses to do. He doesn't want to defend America. He wants to make us weaker. He wants to export our wealth, taxpayer money to other countries in the world. But, only half of the money we're sending Ukraine is actually weapons and ammo. The other half is mostly economic aid. And essentially what we're doing and what Zelensky has specifically requested, He is having the U.S. and the EU pay the Ukraine's full government budget during the war. So, essentially we're paying for government salaries. And by the way, we're paying for the salaries of the neo-Nazi Azov regiment. So there's a neo-Nazi group of about 2,000 troops, perhaps thousands more, and the Biden administration is armed. And they actually have Nazi symbols on their sleeves. So, talk about white supremacists. Who's responsible for arming them? That'd be President Joe Biden. So, that's kind of an inconvenient truth that we don't hear in the liberal media. But, we're paying for Ukrainian government salaries, and this whole entire war is not in the U.S. national security interest to fight. It's something that we could have negotiated an end to back in April if the Biden administration had, used America's diplomatic might, and pressured Zelensky to reach a reasonable compromise agreement along the lines that I wrote back in early March and again in mid-June to end the war on fair and reasonable terms with Russia.
Excellent. And by the way, folks, we're broadcasting on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And if you go to republicbroadcasting.org, you can listen. I assume we've got some archives and so forth. And yes, they are. They're all archived. I've listened to several before. And we appreciate you, RBN. And those of you who are running the booth and so forth, Mike and Sam, and thanks so much for all you guys do. Now, this will be available afterwards, but I got a question here from someone who I already turned on to this, a very loyal listener on our stations, and he asked the question, one word, why? Why has Biden decided that we should not be energy independent? Why is he weakening our own military and our own strength and our ability to protect ourselves and to destroy the family and destroy the school system and education and to bring in things like critical race theory? And so his one question, and this is a smart guy, he's a PhD and a scientist, and he wants to know why.
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, I'm old enough to remember when I was supporting a guy by the name of Patrick Buchanan for president way back in 1992 and 96 and again in 2000. And all those campaigns, he ran on the culture war. Like, he gave a speech at the 1992 Republican convention, which initially was welcomed by Republicans and by Bush himself before the liberal media, you know, kind of vilified it. And then... you know, then he was kind of you know, treated like radioactively. But basically, he said, you know, we're fighting a culture war against liberal, basically the precursor to liberal Marxist cultural Marxist wokeism, and you know, if we're not careful, we'll lose the war. Well, obviously, you know, unfortunately, all of his predictions, including a free trade with China. Have come true. All of the nightmarish predictions that he made have come true. And, you know, cultural Marxism is one. I mean, even a lot of Republicans support kind of the cultural woke Marxist agenda. You know, one example, of course, would be Governor Spencer Cox of Utah. He's literally the most woke liberal Republican governor in the country. And he's been actually called that, you know, by Time Magazine article. Which viewed that they viewed it that positively, of course. But the point is, the liberals are praising him for his wokeism, and Republicans aren't calling him to task. You know, there's no reason we should have a liberal governor as our governor here in Red State, Utah. You know, we're like 75% Republican. So a lot of the liberal dogma has taken charge. Certainly the liberal establishment like Romney and maybe even to some extent McConnell have bought into it. You know, on another level, in terms of energy independence and whatnot, you know, the Newt Gingrich, way back in the 90s, the Republican Congress, you know, was full of free traders, kind of America last neoconservative free traders. That believed unilateral free trade with China would make them more peaceful and make them, you know, so rich that they wouldn't want to spend any of their newfound wealth on military forces. You know, they wouldn't want to build up their military. They wouldn't want to take over Taiwan. They wouldn't want to, you know, quadruple the size of their nuclear arsenal as they've been doing from 2020 to 2024 when their buildup will be completed. And you know, that was just proven total foolishness. You know, we never should have had, you know, a lot of people praise Nixon for his, you know, his trip to China, but that was really the whole strategy. And that was a strategy embraced by Reagan, by the way, who provided 1 billion in arms and military technology to communist China, which he called so-called communist China. Cause he wanted to downplay the fact they were communists. He hoped to have them as an ally against the Soviet Union, but the whole idea of building China as to counterbalance the Soviet Union, and subsequently that if we, in the absence of a Soviet Union, if we kept building them up to be the wealthy country as with a GDP as prosperous and large as ours, or even larger, that would make them peaceful is was really the most ridiculous idea that I've heard of in the last few decades. And unfortunately, it was done with Republican supports. You know, Clinton, of course, negotiated the world, China's ascension to the World Trade Organization. It's kind of like the deep state. I think the deep state has, they've been pushing, the U.S. to be more dependent. They call it interdependence on other countries instead of independence. And thankfully, you know, Donald Trump, when he was elected president, he really brought this America first idea that we need to be economically, not just politically independent, but you can't have true political independence and national sovereignty without economic independence. And we don't have economic independence from China. 60% as of 2010, even 60% of what we consume in terms of manufacturing goods and other products are made in foreign countries. And I would not be surprised if that number is closer to 70% today. And so even if we were, for example, not even have a war with China, but simply have a trade war where they invaded Taiwan and then we responded with massive economic sanctions and trade sanctions, and they responded in kind, a lot of people would die because 90% of life-saving pharmaceuticals we get from China. And so, you know, we had this idea we could outsource all production or a lot of our production of key critical manufacturing goods to China, and we'd be okay. That would be a good thing because we could buy them cheaper, you know. But that's with COVID, we found out that maybe wasn't the best idea.
Yes, sir. Yeah, very well said. And there doesn't seem to be any progress on replacing the manufacturing of these products, and especially the necessary life-saving medicines back into the United States. I have personal knowledge of this. I even dealt with this medical side where I just watched the reliance and the dependence upon not only medicine but medical supplies, medical equipment, slowly shifted over to China over a 10-year period. Now we cannot sustain. If there were war to break out and they cut us off, they'd be cutting off even equipment and parts for our own military, parts for missiles and jets and everything else. I don't know who allowed this to happen or how it just quietly crept in to the equation. David Pine?
It's very disturbing. There have been laws passed against it. To have American produced materials in our weapons, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it was recently discovered that F-35 fighters, one of our two most advanced fighters in the country, are produced with Chinese alloys. So we had to shut down F-35 fighter production, the Joint Strike Fighter, because of these Chinese alloys. So we don't believe, the Pentagon doesn't believe that will, enable the Chinese to sabotage them or anything like that, but it just exposes the fact that we couldn't have produced those fighters without rare earth materials that are produced by China and found here in the U.S., but we don't produce them anymore. We have a large amount of rare earths, even in Utah here, that are going unproduced and unmined because of the environmental extremists. That hate mining and hate oil and production, and yet Biden's selling our strategic oil reserves to China to pay off his Hunter's company that gave the Biden family like I think $1.5 billion, of which they pocketed 10%, or actually 31 million, and Biden himself pocketed 3.1 million of that.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's go to a break and we'll be back to complete this.
La, la, la. Ah! La, la, la. La. Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, folks, welcome back to K-Talks Inside the News, but it happens to be, in this case, Talk with John. John is one of the hosts on our radio station here in Salt Lake City, K-Talk, and you can listen live at any time by going to either ktalkmedia.com or ktalkradio.com. My name is Paul Jensen, and we have a frequent, very knowledgeable and expert guest on with us today who also has been on K-Talk many times and had his own show there. Now, David Pyne, the last name is spelled with a Y, David, P-Y-N-E, and I'm going to have David give out the information how you can contact him. I will tell you that to contact me, you can write to me. I'm Paul, and my email address is ktalkradio@protonmail.com. ktalkradio@protonmail.com if you need to send us a message. Now, we broadcast 24/7 in Salt Lake City, and we have for decades. We're the second oldest radio station that is a talk station in the country. And we've been doing, I don't know, 45 years or more. I can't remember now, but David, how do people get in touch with you? And then we'll get back to our topics.
Well, the number one thing I'd like to recommend to your listeners is to subscribe to my Real War newsletter. And that's at dpyne www.substack.com. So, you know, there you can see all my latest posts. If I'm worried about, you know, a crisis or a war I think is coming on, or if World War III appears to be on the horizon, that's where I post the most. And then, of course, the national interest as well. If you just look up my name, David Pine, National Interest, you can find my articles. I've got about 24 articles or so published there. So yeah, that's the best way to reach me.
Yeah, David, I'm there right now, and I've been there since before we went on the air. Where on Substack do I subscribe to your channel, to your Substack channel?
You can look up either my name. So the title of my newsletter is the Real War by David Pine. So you can either look me up by name or by The Real War. So I named it The Real War after President Nixon's book that he wrote in 1980. And, you know, Nixon, you know, for all his faults, he was an excellent national security strategist. Like he understood, like he may have implemented his ideas poorly in terms of trying to ally the U.S. with China against the Soviet Union. That was something that was never going to happen. You know, they were closer to each other as two communist powers than they would ever be. China would ever be to us. His ideas were sound, you know, and he talked about how World War I and II, you know, birthed Nazism and communism, and how, you know, both those world wars served to destroy the balance of power and enable the Soviet Union to spread communism throughout a third of the world's people and territory, from 170 million to 730 million from 1939 to 1949. And of course, we still have, a lot of people don't realize that there's still about 1.6 billion people living under communism today. So, you know, the percentage isn't as high, but the numbers have increased. And by the way, today is the 83rd anniversary of the Soviet invasion of Poland, which wow. started World War II. You know, Hitler and Stalin divided up Eastern Europe and began with their invasion of Poland in September of 1939. Western allies, of course, Britain and France, declared war against Nazi Germany, but never declared war against the Soviet Union, despite the fact that he invaded six European countries, as opposed to Hitler's seven from 1939 to 1940. So that's something I think we need to recognize, that, you know, we allied with, had an unholy alliance with the evil Soviet Empire, as Ronald Reagan correctly called them, which enabled them to, you know, spread tyranny throughout much of the planet. And we don't ever want to do that again. You know, building up communist China, we built up the Soviet Union to be the best enemy that, you know, U.S. aid money could provide. And we've essentially done the same with communist China. And it's really unfortunate that trillions of dollars in trade dollars have been spent to build, you know, modern nuclear missiles that could one day destroy our country, as well as super EMP weapons.
Very good. Okay, we will do that. Now, I want to let's finish up this topic about the cost of war, where the money's war is going, and as far as this Ukrainian war, and just tie that knot up, and then I want to move on to a couple of other things.
So I think we pretty much covered the topic, with the exception of Lend-Lease. I wanted to make a comment on Lend-Lease. So Lend-Lease, of course, was a program that began in March of 1941. Initially, it was to provide aid to the British Empire in their defense against Nazi Germany. But then it was quickly expanded to the Soviet Union, and then now we've done the same thing with Ukraine.
Okay, let's go to the final break before the end of the show, and we'll be right back with you folks. Thanks for joining us today.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm Peter Serafin, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Okay, welcome back to this broadcast. My name is Paul Jensen. I'm the host of Inside the News on K-Talk Radio in Salt Lake City. And we've got with us our co-host today, Mr. David Pyne. David, your last name is spelled P-Y-N-E. He's the former U.S. Combat Arms and HQ staff officer. The director currently serves as the deputy director of national operations for the EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. Now, I'm grateful for you being with us today. We're grateful for Republic Broadcasting Network and their very, very professional way they handle these shows. And we are talking a lot about Ukraine and Russia today, but there are many other topics I would like to talk about. We're getting a little short on time to get all of them in today, but I wanted to ask you a question. I probably should have discussed with you in the past, and there's a presidential directive called PDD, that presidential directive, and that presidential decision directive, PDD, and this one is 60, and one of our regular guests on K-Talk Radio, and by the way, you can listen at ktalkradio.com remotely and K-Talk Media, whichever one comes in best for you, and many other things. We're on all of the internet channels. We've been on a long, long time, And one of the things we've talked about regularly on K-Talk with Joel Skousen. Now, Joel Skousen is the editor of the World Affairs Brief, and you go to his site at worldaffairsbrief.com. And he talks about PDD 60. Now, this presidential directive, I'll read you a little bit about it. Back in 1991, President Bush ordered the bombers to stand down off their ground alert. Prior to this order, there were always fully loaded bombers with nukes on the alert pad. So with others, crews standing by, and all ready to launch at a moment's notice, David. Then, and so this had gone on all the way back to since World War II. And to be ready, but this new directive, this PDD 60, outlined that during the Clinton administration, they quietly made a significant change to the U.S. strategic nuclear doctrine in November. And so they have formally abandoned the guidelines issued by the Reagan administration in 1981 that the U.S. must be prepared to fight and win a protracted nuclear war. The new presidential decision under Clinton, the directive, the PDD, and that's Papa Delta Delta, if I am speaking too fast, Papa Delta Delta 60, details were first reported in the Washington Post on December 7th, back in 1981. So Robert Bell, and I know you probably remember him well, Senior Director of Defense Policy and Arms Control at the National Security Council, provided additional information on PDD 60 and clarified what it really was. And basically, I'll just read what it says. PDD 60 actually says that on the original post, that it means that the U.S. must absorb a nuclear first strike before firing back. And you said most people are not aware of this. Now, Joel Skousen, as long as he's been on my radio shows and radio stations, which is probably well over 20 years, has talked about this till now. If you go online and Google it, his name comes up in connection with this many, many, many times. And it was just fairly recently removed from the Clinton library. It's not even available to look at the original, but has never been rescinded. And Joe Skousen has spoken to some of the top people in government. Most of them don't even know what it is, and the ones who do know said it has never been rescinded. What do you know about this doctrine that we must absorb a nuclear first strike, David Pine?
Yeah, I've been crying bloody murder about. I'm glad you brought this up because I've been raising this issue ever since it was first issued in '97. You know, I was still in my late 20s back then, but I was immediately disturbed by PDD 60, which I call launch on impact. So we had a policy of launch on warning during the entirety of the Cold War, which is that if we detected a Soviet nuclear launch or a Chinese nuclear launch, then we would respond by, you know, immediately launch here with, you know, before they enemy nuclear weapons were able to destroy our nuclear arsenal, we would, you know, launch our nuclear missiles and put our nuclear bombers in the air to avoid being destroyed. So a little bit of context. And by the way, you're absolutely right. I asked Dr. Peter Pry to confirm whether back in 2020 or thereabouts, whether the Trump administration still had PDD 60 as official U.S. policy, and he confirmed his contact within the Trump administration confirmed that it was still U.S. policy. So, unfortunately, Trump had a lot of great ideas, but he didn't really do a whole lot to reverse this perilous course of unilateral nuclear disarmament. As he initially wanted to. He initially wanted, you know, when he was first briefed in June 2017, the fact that we had reduced our nuclear arsenal, you know, by 94%. I think they said 90%. It was actually closer to 94%. He immediately said, well, we need to build it up 10 times, you know, 10 times higher, back to, you know, closer to previous level. So that would have been about 17,000 nukes. And he was scoffed at. He was laughed at by the generals, General Mattis and General Kelly, who was the chief of staff. I mean, he was just ripped apart, and he caved in, to their counsel, which was to not do anything to rebuild up our nuclear arsenal. But returning to the question, PDD-60 was issued, as you said, in 1997, signed by the Clinton administration, by President Clinton. And the rationale for issuing this was his negotiations of a START 3 agreement, which would reduce our nuclear arsenal from, I don't know, probably 7,000-8,000 nuclear warheads at the time to about 3,500. And we ended up going a lot lower than that under President George W. Bush and then Barack Obama. But in order to do that, we had to modify our nuclear doctrine from, fight and win our nuclear war, because the only way we could fight nuclear war is to take out all of Russia's military strategic targets. And that a lot of people don't realize that requires thousands of warheads. You can't do that with, what we have today, which is, 700 ready to fire nuclear warheads and, 1,515 total, if we had enough notice to bring those online. So that's why they issued it. But essentially, it's not, I wouldn't say that it goes so far as to say it requires us to absorb a nuclear first strike. It requires us to absorb and confirm the first nuclear impact. So the reason that's problematic is because in any nuclear war, and even a limited nuclear scenario, like where Russia only attacks us with maybe a dozen nukes, the first nuclear target is going to be Washington, D.C. The very first nuclear target they're going to do is to take out our nuclear command authority, which is the President of the United States and the Secretary of Defense. And, interestingly, President Vladimir Putin, as Biden continued to threaten him over the pending invasion of Ukraine before Russia even invaded Ukraine, he said that, Putin said, hey, we have Zircon hypersonic missiles on our submarines that are going to come online. Actually, the first ones are coming online this month. They moved it up. It was going to be December and they moved it up to September, which is a little ominous, could indicate they're preparing for World War III with the U.S. alongside their Chinese allies. But, those missiles could... he said that he would deploy them, the submarines, within 200 miles of Washington, D.C., and that would give us maybe 3 to 4 minutes of warning time before Washington, D.C. was disappeared in a mushroom cloud. So not enough time for Biden to even get on Air Force One. And needless to say, the presidential bunker under the White House is not survivable from a nuclear head or even a near miss. So that's a real threat. So PDD-60 is something we need to have reversed as soon as possible. It really makes our ability to deter nuclear attack from Russia or China very problematic, because obviously if our nuclear command authority was taken out, or even if communications were taken out, so that Biden's orders couldn't reach our nuclear missile submarine and commanders and our missile silos, missileers, then, Russia and China could wipe us out.
I mean, this is sheer madness, and I just don't know who controls the narrative and who would rescind or reverse this PDD-60, David Pine.
Well, and the other, let me just point out one other rationale. So another rationale was, back then we thought Russia was no longer a threat, even though they still possessed, 70% of the arsenal of the Soviet Union at the time, with 20,000 plus nuclear warheads. We didn't really view Russia as a threat anymore under Yeltsin. And I would say that, I mean, certainly they were a threat capability-wise, but I don't think Yeltsin had any ill wishes to us. In fact, the interesting thing is Gorbachev, in 1990 said, he actually said that Russia wanted to join NATO. The Soviet Union wanted to join NATO. And then in 91, Yeltsin said he wanted to join NATO. And then 2002, Putin said that he would be willing to join NATO. And one of the articles, probably the next article I'm writing right now, talks about all the greatest mistakes after the Cold War, which had they be reversed, we would not be threatened with World War III or nuclear war right now. And one of the biggest mistakes we made was not letting Russia join NATO or be an ally or a strategic partner with us, because instead, by expanding NATO eastward to the Russian border, as we did in 1999, then it forced Russia to ally with China instead. And as anyone knows or should know, when there's three nuclear superpowers in the world, we want to be on the side of the two allied nuclear superpowers, and not have the two allied other nuclear superpowers allied against us, because obviously we probably can't win a war against one nuclear superpower, let alone two. And any war we have with Russia and China, especially over Taiwan or with China, would involve North Korea and Russia as well. So it'd be three nuclear powers against one, assuming that Britain and France didn't get involved.
3 days ago, we had on our regular guest, Mr. Alex Newman, who is the senior editor and foreign correspondent for the New American Magazine. He is he's really a sharp, smart guy. And he made the statement that it is their belief that Russia and China are completely aligned as allies. I know there was this meeting earlier this week, where China and Russia met. But I heard the meeting didn't go so well. But you never know if the reporting is accurate. How tight, and bringing China into the narrative now, and then I'd like to bring a little bit in Taiwan on this narrative if we can, but how important is it that we've driven Russia away into the arms of China, and how tight is their relationship? I'll call it relationship at this point.
Well, I would say it's as close as lips and teeth, to borrow a North Korean phrase in describing their military alliance with China. I don't think it could be hardly any closer than it is. It's really a travesty. Way back in 2000, I gave my oral thesis when I graduated from my second graduate degree, and this one was in National Security Studies from Georgetown, My oral thesis was that the greatest threat the U.S. would face during the 21st century was the Sino-Russian military alliance, which hadn't even been formalized yet, by the way. Wasn't formalized until, I think, 7 months later. Obviously there were signs with the Shanghai Five that they were moving in that direction from a strategic partnership to a formal military alliance that they created way back in July 2001. But I said that the core driving principle of U.S. national security policy should be to divide and disrupt the Sino-Russian military alliance. So how do you do that? I've read some articles. There's not a lot of thinking. There's not a lot of strategizing that I've seen in national security circles about how to accomplish that. And most of what I've seen is ridiculous. It says that we should, if we stand up to Russia and Europe, then they'll realize that they'll just have to give up essentially and focus on their eastern border, that's not the way you break up an alliance. That's the way you drive Russia and China together. And that's essentially what we've done, is by ignoring Russian Putin's warnings to stop expanding NATO eastward to include Ukraine. We've gotten ourselves into this Ukraine war, which was easily avoidable even as late as February. If we had just February of this year, before Putin invaded, if Biden had just acceded to Putin's demand to issue a written guarantee that Ukraine would never join NATO, and NATO did the same, everything I've read shows that Putin would have pulled his troops home. Like, this was not principally about gaining territory for Russia. It was all about restoring Ukraine into a neutral buffer state status, because Putin has legitimate reasons to view NATO as an existential threat, and he could not allow NATO to continue on this road to add Ukraine as a full member.
As a matter of fact, I've read, and I know you've confirmed, that there would have been peace a long time ago, except for certain individuals who have wanted to prolong the war between Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, it was Boris Johnson, the last, until recently, Prime Minister of Britain and the Biden administration, that got together in early April to pressure Zelensky to drop to end all peace negotiations with Russia, even though they had a tentative deal on the table, which would have, Zelensky had actually conceded to Russia. He actually conceded probably the day after the invasion. He said that Ukraine would be, it was a day late and a dollar short, he said that Ukraine would be willing to agree to neutrality outside of NATO. If he'd done that a month earlier, perhaps, Putin wouldn't have invaded, provided he agreed to make that a constitutional amendment. What was your question again?
Well, so cui bono, who would benefit for prolonging this war? Who would benefit?
So I'm not sure who. Well, I think China. The answer to your question is China benefits the most from continuing the war. And of course, we know that Biden is, essentially a paid Chinese agent, having received about an estimated $3.1 million in his personal bank account from Chinese sources, Chinese business deals. China would be the biggest beneficiary, because what does China want? China wants us to send our military strength, to send all our weapons to Ukraine and get us bogged down with tens of thousands more troops and half our fleet in the European theater, so that he can invade Taiwan and we won't have enough military strength to muster to counter him, even at the conventional level. So I think that's the answer to who benefits the most. But overall, the U.S. doesn't benefit at all. The U.S. would be the loser. I think Russia and China will be the winner of the Ukraine war that we're seeing. Ukraine and the U.S. and NATO will be the losers of the war. And there's just no logical or rational reason that we should be trying to fight this undeclared proxy war against Russia and Ukraine. But it all goes back to 2019 when President Trump was essentially impeached because he refused to get us into a third world war with Russia. And that's what it boiled down to, with this where he was impeached for supposedly, delaying weapons to what they call the U.S. ally, which was totally false. Ukraine has never been a formal U.S. ally, but delaying weapons to Ukraine, and that wasn't even true. Like, their own impeachment witnesses proved that Trump never delayed the weapons shipments to Ukraine. But anyway, he was impeached on that, and Obama was smart enough to refuse to send any lethal military weapons to Ukraine, knowing that it would almost inevitably cause conflict with Russia. So Obama was a lot smarter than Biden was. Biden actually didn't send weapons until after the Russians invaded. So, Biden had some level of common sense before the invasion. But then as soon as Russia invaded, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said, if Russia invades Ukraine, we're going to we'll cut off all negotiations with them. So we actually haven't had a single discussion at the top level or any senior level between the U.S. State Department and the Russian Foreign Ministry about how to resolve and end the war in a mutually acceptable fashion. So it's really it's the height of idiocy. It's a tremendous strategic blunder. If we had merely maintained our diplomatic contacts with Russia, we could have been sounding them out on, compromised peace terms. And I'm really confident we could have We could have ended this war in April and saved tens of thousands of Ukrainian lives. And, you know, the Ukrainian economy would be much restored by now. You know, at this point, they have 50% of their Ukrainian businesses have shut down. They're still being blockaded, aside from limited grain shipments in the Black Sea. And 60% of their GDP their GDP is likely to go down by 50 to 60% for this year alone. So it's a and as we discussed in your last show, nearly 30% of their population are refugees.
Yes, yeah. That's just amazing. Well, and one other thing, as far as cui bono, as far as who benefits, and you and I have a little difference of opinion. I know when Eisenhower left office, he warned about what he specifically called the military-industrial complex. I think it's a matter of semantics between you and I, but one group that really does benefit are the people who manufacture all these weapons of war and ammunition and missiles. So they have a vested interest financially to continue this. I think we've probably only got about a minute left. Where do we go from here? And we'll get together on the air again. I really wanted to get more into Taiwan and what's happening there, what the eventuality is, and how much how the United States would become or not become involved in that. I think we got maybe a minute and a half to discuss that.
Well, I think what needs to happen right away is the Biden administration needs to call a peace conference sound out Russia on peace terms and, you know, mediate a peace deal ending the war between Russia and Ukraine. And then at that point, we need to phase out our sanctions with Russia, and we need to sign a conventional forces in Europe 2 treaty in which, Western NATO troops are withdrawn from Eastern Europe, and then Russian troops are withdrawn from Belarus and any parts of Ukraine. And then, that will essentially help to neutralize, the Sino-Russian military alliance. And then we also need to have strategic clarity. Biden needs to issue strategic clarity on Taiwan, not that he'll defend Taiwan, but that we will not defend Taiwan militarily, but we will instead pursue massive economic sanctions against China if they invade.
Excellent. I'm not exactly sure how much of this is engineered, and they want to bring America to its knees, and they're engineering our destruction, and why we don't seem to have any representation or anyone speaking from us, including the conservatives, including Republicans in the House and the Senate. They in many ways seem to be at battle with each other. David Pine.
Yeah, unfortunately, the since Trump lost or left, I don't think he lost the election, but in terms of legal votes. But he, since he left office, the Republicans have reverted to their same old bad ways, and the neoconservative wing is kind of retaking dominance. And we've seen that with massive Republican support for these Ukrainian aid packages, which are in opposition to the U.S. national security interests. So we need to elect America First conservatives to Congress to stop this.
Great to have you with us today, David Pine, and we'll be signing off, and we're grateful to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.